All right. Well, thank you. Your point is very well made. Thanks for your call. At this point, I would like to also say something. We moved from a point during last year. So looking back on the year, when we were all in lockdown, when places around the world basically were closed and we were trying to prevent the spread of COVID. And I think over the course of the pandemic, we've moved to a place in which we have become, I don't want to say comfortable, but maybe resigned to the fact that we will have to live with COVID. And the Prime Minister did say that we have to learn to live with COVID and to manage it. And perhaps this is the reason why we have not gone into an all-out lockdown at this point, even though some may think it is advised. So how do we, going forward into 2021, live with COVID? And again, this takes me back to how do we find this balance between allowing businesses to function and having certain restrictions, allowing people to visit the country or perhaps having some places, some destinations, or not destinations, some source markets being cut off from Barbados and other places during difficult times. These are all challenges that we have to think about going forward. And I think we may have learned something about how we can address this from the previous year, but there's still a lot to learn. Mr. Willock, Wayne, I see that there is a comment in here about technology as well, which I think is very interesting for us to consider. So someone in the WhatsApp has noted that we need improvements with our bandwidth. I would have noted previously that we had school in virtual and hybrid settings. I made a point about us not knowing how schools will open, and I've been told that schools will be closed for 2 weeks, which is fine, I suppose, but that still does not provide me with a lot of information as to how and exactly when schools will reopen. So we await further information on this. And we've seen also in the entertainment sector in which you are involved that there has been some use of technology with these things such as the versus battles. We've seen virtual concerts, some virtual fets online. How can this help people, business people in this time period, promoters, perhaps those who are involved in the cultural industries, performers, and the like? Is this a lucrative area, an area in which they can make money if we are in this very constrained kind of setting? Wayne? Oh, I don't think he's hearing me. All right, well.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm listening to all that's happening there. I can only say it's very difficult again. I see that some people have gone online and are, I don't know, seemingly successful. I don't know to what extent, but certainly dancers and so on may be able to get through. But things like stilt walking, limbo, and so on are basically for the enjoyment of persons who have never seen anything like that, which would be persons from overseas. So in that respect, those type of persons would really be suffering more than just from the music. You can take a band, you could do like what Ajo did, take a whole band and some dancers and have your show and have people go online and pay to see it. And you have, I don't know how successful it was, but that is definitely a route that you could take for certain people, certain types of entertainment. But entertainment has so many different areas of exposure that it will benefit some to do that, and others, you know, it's just not going to work. I mean, I had an idea fairly early, like coming into Crop Over Time. I had an idea I said to myself, why can't we do a Calypso competition online? And I started to suss out the type of things that would be needed, the costing and so on. But then one of the people I was waiting on for information take the idea and ran along with it, and then I wasn't involved anymore. That's the nature of how we help each other as well. You see, those are some of the things that happened here in Barbados. So I sort of abandoned that, and because, you know, as a person who's new to that type of activity, you're trying to get information. The same people who will give you the information is the people that just run along with it. Those are one of the things you would encounter even during COVID, even before COVID. So now during COVID, it's even worse. So I believe not just for individual businesses, but for the country as a whole, we have to look at something else that we can offer in outside of the tourism product.
Okay. And do you have any ideas as to what kind of some things we could offer?
Very difficult question. I don't know what the some things would be. I know that we might be looking, I think, international business and so on. Sugar isn't doing too well. I don't know if they're going to revive the cotton industry, maybe the black-bellied sheep and so on, but to what extent will they bring in the type of foreign exchange? And even then, you can't really, it's difficult now in terms of taking out things, sending out things and bringing in things and so on. It's unprecedented. I don't know what word to use, but okay. You know, even the management of it is going to be important.
Okay. And how critical do you think technology will be going forward, even in entertainment, even if you're not going to have things fully in an online or virtual setting? Can you think of the ways in which this may change how your business operates or businesses like yours operate?
Well, I suppose it could be again the technology, but from our side, we will have to set up an area that looks like a performing area with a studio. You gotta have enough cameras, mm-hmm. You gotta have a broad enough bandwidth or strong enough to really send it out there at a good quality. And then the places where you will want to have this, whether you do it by asking the hotel to click on a link and you receive this type of entertainment, whether it be a band, a tuk band, a palm player, and so on. The infrastructure sounds to me like it would be costly. And also the actually putting it together and getting it to happen. I'm not sure. I am not technical in that area, so I won't want to to speak to the ease or difficulty.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's go to the phone lines and see what our callers have to say. This is Brass Tax Sunday.
Let me say good morning to you. Morning.
Hi, I think we're in the afternoon now.
Good afternoon 12. To you and to Mr. Willock. I have been listening, and I think I'm entitled to a suggestion or my own opinion. Now, a lot of blame game has started. And I think this has started because they don't want to admit, Dr. Hines, a mistake was made. And that mistake is a very serious mistake which would have involved the people of Barbados. And that is that you've taken all the hotels, guest houses, and you strapped them onto the quarantine position. So I mean that you've got a lot of, instead of guaranteeing the quarantine stations would be what they set out to be, in order to accommodate people in this country, the government has made a serious mistake. And if you read Saturday's paper, you see that almost every hotel and guest house in Barbados have been accommodated as a quarantine station. If you also look at the fact there is an article which says that hotel staff upset quarantine visitors out and about. You've got situations where people have been quarantined. And it seems as if though that somewhere along the line, you have not been able to manage that. You have not been able to manage that because the approach to it seemed to me to be out of place with what the problem happened to be. The protocols can work, but you can't divide the protocols and direct the protocols only to locals. When in truth or fact, you've got a situation here where people come to this country and they choose where they want to quarantine. And the fact remains that after these people have accepted to be quarantined, then what is the result? You don't have the manpower. You don't have the manpower to look after this, because the hotel staff has been given instructions. And I'm saying that we cannot put the hotel together with the problem, because the blame game has started. What I'm concerned about is that somewhere along the line, you've got a situation where, as far as the hotels are concerned, as far as the little guest houses are concerned, as far as the apartment houses are concerned, they have been accepted by government. Now, this should not be so.
They have been what, by government? Accepted, you said?
If you read Saturday's paper, you realize a list of approved hotels.
Yes.
A list of approved hotels, and there are a whole set of them. If you go across, you realize that there's an article which says that the hotel staff, now obvious, people want to safeguard their work. And if the management of the hotel tells that member of staff, you have got to clean room 5, you've got to clean room 8, or you've got to serve room 7, then obvious the position is that that person is on the job. So I think there's a need to understand fully that, yes, you want the tourist dollar, but you cannot clash the tourist dollar with the lives of people of Barbados and people who in Truth and Fact would like to serve this country. Now, the protocols could work.
Okay.
The protocols could work, and they will work. The other
so
thing is
my concern is, if I can just stop you there for a minute, is there are people working in hotels, and I've not been in a hotel, clearly, during this period. And I wonder if they have adequate protective equipment as well. So those who are working in the hotel, who are cleaning, who may be tending to guests, how are they being protected? Because when we talked about frontline workers, especially earlier on during this period, we tend to focus on the medical professionals, those working in the labs and in the medical public health kind of setting. But there are other people who clearly are on the front lines. And in our context, where we are using hotels as these quarantine centers, for, I guess, lack of a better phrase, how are those who are working in hotels and also in other forms of accommodation being protected, knowing that they need to go back to their family members as well, that they will be boarding public transportation? And this is not a criticism. This is genuinely a question, because I am not certain as to how they are being equipped to deal with people whose COVID status they do not know, because they are awaiting a second test. So that's my curiosity that follows on from what you've said. Go ahead, continue.
So you realize that somewhere along the line, a mistake has been made. And since this mistake has been made, other people will pay the consequence of it in terms of what you just said. If there's a protection, or if there's a guarantee that these workers at the hotels will not come in contact, and they will come in contact. Another thing I'm concerned about, Dr. Haynes, this idea of the funerals and the allocation of people to attend funerals. This has not carefully been thought out. Because when you say that the amount of people to attend the funeral, you know, and I know, Barbados are sentimental to funerals, one way or the other. And Barbados would like to prepare the respect to even someone that they may not be familiar with. So when you tell me 10 people, you have changed the whole transformation of that funeral, because the pallbearers are 10 people. The pallbearers, you're there?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
The pallbearers are 10 people. So you are restricting the funeral where the corpse will have its called pallbearers. Well, unfortunately, we'll not have the person or persons who would like to pay the respect to that person.
There is a thing where people were actually streaming funerals as well. I don't know if you've seen that. Again, going back to the use of technology, I have seen some funerals that have been live streamed so that those who want to pay their respects can do so, even if they cannot go into the church or wherever the funeral is being held. And this also allows for people who are overseas to participate. Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have not picked up what you consider to be a YouTube hobby.
A YouTube what?
Hobby.
probably.
You know,
okay,
there's several things on YouTube, but as far as the big trees are concerned, even my family wants to know what about it. That I find time every day to go onto YouTube to see the production of the funeral down to yesterday. So I'm saying that, yeah, that's a good way, but that's not the way the barbarians like yourself are in talk about the virtual. No, barbarians are not familiar with those things yet. Barbarians are not ready yet. So you have to understand, you have to take the slow process to wrap barbarians into something. Now, what you said is true. How many barbarians understand that they give you a long line of contact for the funeral coverage? But apart from that, the funeral coverage comes back up on YouTube. The funeral homes put back up the funeral on YouTube, and you have a whole following of the from the body going into the church to the body going up the church to the tributes to everything. So you see the whole service on YouTube. So barbarians are not familiar with that. Barbarians have this thing about them. Well, look, I owe.
They have to get familiar now, though, because there's not much choice. And
yeah, but you see,
with weddings, the same thing. Weddings is only the two people getting married, the officiant and their witnesses. So I think this may be what we have to start getting used to, even though it is not our preference, because this is an emergency situation. We may think that we are, or we may have thought that we were out of the emergency period when we started reopening businesses, but it is clear that we continue to be in an emergency setting, and we have to readjust ourselves to how we do a lot of things, how we go to school, how we work, how we mourn, how we get married, how we celebrate.
See, my I can be straight with you. My feeling this morning is that a mistake has been made and the blame game has started. And until that mistake can be corrected, as far as the quarantines of the law, really the establishments across Barbados, I think we always have this problem which will now come full force on us. I think as far as the funerals are concerned, that most funerals can go to the gravesite now. Gravesite funeral, which reduces the intake in the church, can still be carried. Okay. But this whole idea of starting a blame game, all of us are involved in this exercise. Now, I would believe that the same way you can put a ban on a person's hand because you feel that they contact COVID, I am saying that there should be a position that the person or persons who have been tested is given some identification that, you know, look, don't trouble Miss Hines. Miss Hines has an ID that proved that she had been tested, so we should go on to somebody else. But
this, so hold on, you have to wear this ID for? You have to wear this forever?
No. This ID is where the government will now come in to earn a revenue. This is where, just say, oh, you've got a driver's license and you have to pay to renew it. The idea is that after you've been tested, you've been given this ID that you can wear or take along in your wallet. So that whenever or wherever you encounter the situation that there's a doubt, you have something to show. And at the end of that, whether it be a 3 months ID or whether it be a 2 months ID or whether it be a month's ID, it means that you can go and you can get your test done again, and you're free of this hundreds of people who have to be tested. I am of the opinion that they've got to listen. Yes, the protocols, the team, they're doing a fine job. But there's certain things that the layman is not familiar with. And okay. until you can teach the layman these things, like, for example, let's just talk about having to see the funerals on YouTube. Thanks to James Wilson's funeral home and some of the others. Having to understand, for you cannot incorporate the hotels. You cannot incorporate the hotels. Every single hotel and guest house, if you take up some of the paper, you're going to see that these people have now become quarantine outstations. How are you going to accommodate them? That is a narrative.
Yeah, but I don't fully agree. You know, I'm not saying that you cannot include them, but we have to have adequate procedures and protocols, and they need to be adhered to in these places. If they cannot adhere to them, that's where the problem is, in my opinion. So I wouldn't say that they cannot. The question is, do they all have the capacity to do what needs to be done? There is one individual on WhatsApp who is clarifying that hotel staff do not clean rooms. Guests are provided with linen, which are outside the room door, like when you receive room service. Okay, so this is new information for me. And this is the thing. We are not, as people who are on the outside, as people who have not traveled, we may not know all of this. And this is why I was asking, you know, curiosity about the extent to which those who are working in this sector have been protected. I also have some questions about this ID bracelet you were talking about. Because after you wear this ID bracelet for 2 days, you could go on the bus crawl, you could go on a boat cruise, you can go in the supermarket and get COVID.
You misunderstood me. Let me clarify myself. There's several people who are negative and several people who are positive. The people who are rating the positive, and there's several people who are rating the negative. I am saying that this system that we have accommodated in Barbados can be much stronger than it is. That is that every single person who owns an ID card, who has the right to move around Barbados, have a right to be challenged in terms of the traveling with the virus. So if right now you are giving the visitor who got tested a car, a ban, but you're sending him to the hotels, almost every hotel in Barbados is beachfront. You cannot stop that person from walking out the room and walking on the beach. And the security is not going to challenge them because they're likely to get challenged and lose their job. So the position is that if you've got what they can consider COVID inspectors, people who in trouble for, and I want to raise a point really quickly before you go. I want to compliment the department.
Because we have a new guest coming in and I'd like to introduce him. But go ahead.
I want to compliment the Prime Minister for the foresight on the curfew. It did not make sense sending your crew out on old years night at 65 different locations to find out who coordinating and who not coordinating. And the fact of the matter is that it would have been best you've got people, you would have had people on the road who might be carrying the same COVID. I'm saying that what was done, and she must be complimented for it. Let's make O'Leary's night a curfew night. So after 11 o'clock, when we're expecting people to reassemble for morning, that the cancellation of the curfew subject people to behavior patterns.
All right. Well, thank you. I know this was also very difficult for people who had activities organized. I don't mean informal activities, but business people, promoters, those who had events on. So although it may have been a prudent decision, it also was one that was costly for some people. Right now, I would like to welcome another guest to the program, and that is Mr. Anthony Sobers. He joins us. He is from the Pig Farmers Cooperative, and I hope that he will be able to give us some different perspectives on how he has been affected, his business, perhaps those who are also members of the cooperative have been affected during the last year by the developments we have seen linked to the COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome, Mr. Sobers. All right, so we seem to be having a little difficulty hearing Anthony Sobers at this point. Oh, here he is.
Yes, are you hearing me?
Sobers, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for coming. So tell us, how has this period impacted your business, farmers, other areas in which you're involved? We know you do a little bit more than just pig farming from our previous conversation. So tell us a bit.
Yeah, I tend to have a very broad perspective, not only in pig farming, pig marketing, also involved in a number of small businesses, also a member of the Small Business Association. Like most businesses, the COVID has affected us and have created several challenges around us. we have seen a drastic drop in revenue and in sales. In some areas of some of my sources have dropped as much as 60%, well, almost 100%. Really, business have totally disappeared. Some areas, if you're lucky, 30-40%, and the costs have also been increasing. So why you find that your sales has been declining? Because of course revenue has been income has declined. Person be unemployed, so therefore the level of spend is not there. Your cost of operation has been rising, so it forces you to look for various areas to see how you really could compete and sustain yourself within the marketplace. At the same time, you see around you have created a lot of opportunities for other persons in the produce area, in terms of meats, vegetables. You see a lot of those persons have sprung up overnight, and some of them have gone, some still remain. And I've created a lot of avenues for local producers of fruit, vegetables, and meats. Not only in terms of physical retail, but I also see a number of online enterprises in areas of meat have sprung up. You've also seen a number of delivery companies across Barbados over the period. So I've not only created challenges for ongoing businesses, we've also created revenue opportunities for other persons who want to get in the business and want to do things over a period of time. We at the Barrett's Pig Farmers have been one that have been allowed to open during the period of COVID. We've seen it as a great opportunity for us to extend beyond marketing of pork into other areas, vegetables, fruit, black belly sheep, chicken, you name it. And therefore, we ourselves have been looking over the next 2 or 3 years. We have just secured a large loan to expand the enterprise to get in more frozen and fresh meat. So it's an opportunity for us to grow and develop our enterprise over time. So for us, yes, we have our challenge in terms of price. Input costs have been going up. Sales have been declining. And where we have not seen a drop in sales is because we have met the competition head on in relation to competing prices. We use analytics. We know where we're making money. We know where we're losing. And then we know where we can really adjust our price to keep the clientele flowing in order to really sustain ourselves as a business. And we have done this over the last year. Whether we can continue is another matter, because I think we often forget that over the last 10 years have been very challenging for all businesses across Barbados. And then we hit in 2020 by COVID. But another severe blow where you find that person being highly unemployed. You're talking about 30,000-40,000 people not employed. That has an implication for income, in terms of spend, the sustainability and profitability of enterprises. So that creates a very challenging and difficult enterprise for most businesses. Let the non small business. Well, you might find that a large business, the bank issue might say, we will extend your overdraft facility by X amount. For small business, one, you have no overdraft facility for anybody to extend. So it boils in your court to really do what you have to do to try to sustain and maintain your level of business. So for us, okay, that's been very challenging. At the same time, I say, creating some avenues for us ourselves to expand. And we've seen it for us, for our members to expand in order to get into not only pig production, but also expand into chicken production, also into black belly. And we've seen a lot of lamb production coming through in the latter part of the year, which I think is very good for the black belly industry.
Okay, thank you. So I'm hearing from you that it's a mixed picture. And what I think is interesting about this is the potential that I'm hearing you discuss for us to focus more on local farming. And this not just for our, I shouldn't say just, but on the one hand for food security, but on the other hand as a business venture. So we'll come back and we will speak about this a little bit more after we take a break for the news. This is Brass Tacks Sunday. When we come back, you can reach us at 434-1790 or on WhatsApp at 266-4862.